Saying you want to make a change is easy. Following through takes courage. At South Texas Vocational Technical Institute, we'll help you lay a strong foundation for your future with hands-on and career-relevant training. Learn from industry-experienced instructors who bring their knowledge and unique insights to each lesson. Take a chance on yourself. Invest in your future. Visit us at 734 Southeast Military Drive in San Antonio, Texas, or online at stvt.edu. stvt.edu.
The El Conservador Radio Show is sponsored by the Federation for American Immigration Reform and George Rodriguez on 930 AM, The Answer. Time for the El Conservador Radio Show with George Rodriguez. George is a constitutional conservative who loves to expose fake news and liberals. And now, El Conservador, George Rodriguez.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio, deep in the heart of South Texas. Welcome to the show, my friends, on this beautiful Saturday, September 7th, 2024. We've got football, college football, high school football, and pros, of course, started last week. They begin this week. I'm still thinking about preseason. And in Texas, football is a religion. So we're being all very religious in Texas today. Thank you very much. So welcome to the show, my friends. Thank you for taking time to join us. Let me tell you real quick who our guests are, and then I want to chat with you about a very interesting happening here in San Antonio, here in Bexar County, that's could attract a lot of attention nationwide. But first of all, let me thank our guests for taking time to be with us, my friends. They all are going to bring some very interesting information to you. First of all, our first guest is a regular, Sheriff Brad Coe from Kenny County, just south of San Antonio here. Sheriff Coe is going to be talking about the illegal immigration problems that his county is facing right now. The amount of people has gone down, yes, because of a political arrangement between the Biden administration and Mexico, and the number of people crossing, yes, has gone down. However, the number of people that are crossing dangerously, and I will say dangerously because they are depending on the coyotes, they're depending on the cartels, has risen dramatically. This past week, Sheriff Coe busted a fake Lowe's truck, and the truck had all the insignias and everything else of Lowe's, the company. But when it was stopped and checked, it also had 15 illegal aliens inside of it. And Sheriff Coe says that they are seeing more and more people risking their lives because of the agreement between Mexico and the United States to get people to cross, that the cartels are helping people to cross illegally. Now, they are endangering themselves, my friends, because they know that once they get across the border, they're not going to get deported. They're not going to get changed. They're going to be detained in the United States, and then they're going to be released into the United States with a presentation date, with a trial date. And so that means these people are, I mean, it's another form of catch and release. So they're willing to risk their lives, and many are doing exactly that. So Brad Coe, Sheriff Brad Coe, is going to be chatting with us about that. Then we've got Marianne Mendoza. She is an angel mother. Marianne Mendoza is going to be talking to us from Mesa, Arizona. Her son was killed by a drunk illegal alien driver. Now, she's going to be chatting with us regarding this whole situation that we're seeing right now, my friends, of Venezuelan gangs taking over apartments, taking over communities. And, I mean, she sacrificed her son who was in law enforcement. We are going to be seeing a lot more of that remember, here in San Antonio, we had a situation about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, where a Venezuelan shot at a shootout with San Antonio police officers. He was killed, but in the process, one of the police officers, a female police officer, was injured. The Venezuelan gangs are dangerous, and they are creating more and more of a problem. Then we've got Lieutenant Chris Olivares from the Texas Department of Public Safety. He's going to be chatting with us about what the Department of Public Safety is now seeing with runaways, with car chases, with drug busts. He is also the attacks, the aggressiveness that these illegal aliens are now taking at the border. He's going to be chatting with us about. Our final guest is former Congressman Kiko Canseco, a very good friend of mine. He is going to be chatting a little bit more about what is going on here in San Antonio with the Democrats trying to do a backdoor approach for illegal aliens to vote. Yes, to vote. And my friends, this should be very, very alarming to all of us. So he's going to be chatting us. Having said that, let me explain to you what has been happening here in San Antonio. Let me briefly explain to you. Bexar County, the commissioners voted for a private company to help to register voters, despite the fact that they had been warned by the Texas Attorney General, Ken Paxton, that what they were doing is considered illegal. These folks are going to be the Bexar County commissioners are paying a vendor who has definite ties to the Democratic Party to register people who would be ineligible to vote. They are blanketing communities, people, organizations with voter registrations. Yes, and anybody and everybody that they can vote, that they can register to vote, they are doing that. Now, my friends, voter registration should be only for people who are eligible to vote, but no, not in this case. Okay? Not in this case. Furthermore, the Bexar County commissioners are using taxpayer money to pay this vendor to print and distribute voter registration forms to unregistered individuals residing within the county. These individuals could clearly not be eligible to vote. They could be illegal aliens. They could be dead people. They could be folks who are doing phony registrations. There's no way to determine who they are registering, but yet they're going to go do it. Now, there was a similar plan in Harris County, which got kiboshed, but not here in San Antonio. They are doing it. Felons, non-citizens. It is a crime to register these folks, according to Texas law. But the commissioner's court went ahead and adopted that measure. The attorney general made a statement, and he says that it is unlawful and reckless for counties to use taxpayer dollars to indiscriminately send voter registration forms with no consideration of the recipient's eligibility and without statutory authority to do so. Okay? Let me read that to you again. It is unlawful and reckless for Texas counties to use taxpayer money to indiscriminately send voter registration forms with no consideration of the recipient's eligibility and without statutory authority to do so. These counties, says Paxton, these counties' attempts to do so after the Biden-Harris administration has allowed millions of illegal aliens to enter the country is especially troubling. Because, my friends, it certainly appears like what they're doing is setting it up to register illegal aliens. Now, I'll tell you what is whether the Attorney General is successful in preempting and stopping this. What is going to be successful is that the Democrats are going to create all sorts of chaos, social political chaos, because they are going to say that they already are saying it, that it is voter repression, that it is minority, it is an attack on minorities, that somehow this is discriminatory. And it's going to confuse people. It's going to confuse the public, the low-information voters. And they're going to side, unfortunately. They probably will side with the Democrats. Also, this past Wednesday, Representative Chip Roy put an op-ed, a very, very interesting op-ed, regarding the SAVE Act, and calling on the Senate, the U.S. Senate, to pass the SAVE Act. Some of the key points that Congressman Chip Roy says is that the threat of both non-citizens voting and a lame duck session is why the House Freedom Caucus is in a unique position to formally push the SAVE Act. My friends, we cannot allow this to happen. Let's go to our first, let me welcome you to the program. Let's go to our first guest. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. And we've got our good friend, Sheriff Brad Coe from the from Kinney County, Texas, which is down the road here at the border. And I wanted to get him on because there was a new situation, a new incident, where a fake Lowe's truck was stopped with some human trafficking in his county. I wanted to get his report on what that was going on, as well as the situation with trafficking in general, human trafficking in general. Sheriff, thank you for taking time to be with us. Welcome to the show.
Oh, good afternoon, George. Appreciate you giving me a call and giving me a chance to visit with you again.
All right. Well, tell us, Sheriff, tell us first about this incident that made national headlines regarding a Lowe's truck, a fake truck that was used for human trafficking.
Well, a couple of days ago, DPS stopped a truck coming up out of the Eagle Pass area, and it looked like a regular Lowe's truck, had the Lowe's emblem on the side, Lowe's Hardware, had it on the doors and had it on the box. Deputy made contact with the driver. He was wearing a Lowe's shirt. He asked for consent to look in the back of the truck. Driver granted the request, and when he looked in there, he saw a discrepancy. Looking down the side of the truck and looking at the inside of the truck, he noticed the depth perception was a little bit off. So a little closer examination, they found a compartment in there had 12 or 14 people stashed in it, which it's nothing new. I mean, it's happened before in the past. You know, years back, we found them in, they had hollowed out plywood or behind the dash, you know, concealed in the dash of a truck, et cetera, et cetera. But it started to make a comeback trying to conceal people within a fake area within a vehicle.
Now, we have continued to see or hear reports of how the numbers of people crossing the border is down. However, what we are seeing here in San Antonio and in other places are a larger number of busts of human trafficking. What's going on?
Well, we're starting to see the numbers rise again because, of course, we had an extremely hot June, July, and August. You know, we had record temperatures here in Kinney County, 115, 117 degrees, which will slow the foot traffic and the smuggling down because of the heat. But towards the end of August, we were starting to see an increase. We were going from two or three loads a month to one every two or three days. So we're starting to see that increase again. Just in Eagle Pass, I know that they're starting to apprehend on an average 225, 250 per day. So that tells me the numbers are starting to creep back up there. And we'll, September, October, November, I think we're going to see a big increase.
Wow. What about, we had heard about kids, about teenagers, minors being being involved in human trafficking themselves, of driving. Is that still continuing?
In other parts of the state, yes. Of course, we've apprehended several teenagers, 15, 16-year-olds, and they act like they're going to be released because other parts of the state have released them. But we've got real good relations with our juvenile probation and area jails where we're able to put them in juvie detention, and it's a shock to them that they're not being released on site. Mm-hmm. So we've got that pretty much squashed here in Kinney County.
Yeah. So what is the issue that the biggest concern you've got that you are seeing in your county regarding the border at this point?
Well, right now, of course, the 30 years I was with the Border Patrol, we saw two, maybe three incidents where they were using motorcycles. Here in the past month, we've seen two incidents back to back in less than a week where they were trying to use motorcycles. So that tells me they're trying a different MO, if you wish, this go around, trying to get through on motorcycles, try something different. I think that part will continue through the area. And that coupled up with the Lowe's truck, and of course we're starting to take closer looks at the box trucks now. So it's just a matter of time before we catch on something new.
Yeah. Now these motorcycles, are they transporting the drugs, or are they transporting people?
They're transporting people.
Really?
Just one person at a time. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, low profile, you know, it's not that, you know, you doesn't fit right, you know. The last thing you expect really is a motorcycle.
Yeah, really.
But the two cases we've had kind of stood out. They didn't seem right. And the first one, when he saw the checkpoint, he panicked and they bailed off. Mm-hmm. So, and then the second one, as soon as the deputy got behind him, he panicked and we ended up in a pursuit.
Now, there used to be, I remember there was a lot of problems with fences being knocked down, with private property being vandalized, and with thefts. Is that still continuing?
That has slowed down to almost to zero.
Really?
Because through the prosecution process, we add that on. That's another charge that they get, and it enhances the sentencing. So they've kind of learned not to do that for right now. But it'll, like the pendulum, it'll come back.
That, which is very, very interesting to me, because it seems like they must talk to each other and tell each other, do this or do that or not do this or not do that, if you're seeing a drop in it.
Oh, they do, because if you'll remember, you know, a couple of years ago, we couldn't put women in jail. We were prosecuted, but we didn't have a place to put women in jail. So that's all we were seeing was female smugglers. And then once the governor, we got with the governor and he opened up the facility strictly for females, we started putting females in jail. We saw a dramatic drop in the number of female smugglers.
Gotcha.
And then once Kinney County started putting juveniles in jail and detention facility, our numbers in juveniles dropped. So, yes, they do communicate with each other.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, and you're still getting support from outside the county, from other counties, and even from other states?
Oh, yes. I mean, I've still got Florida running around the county. Galveston has been a godsend. They still send two to three people every week. Goliad has had our back since day one. So, yes, we've still got that other support.
You got it. Sheriff, I want to thank you for taking time to be with us as usual. We really, really enjoy getting these updates, and I'll be in touch to get some more, because, you're right there on the front lines seeing everything that's going on.
Well, I appreciate you taking an interest in us, George. Yeah. It means a lot.
You take care, my man, and we'll be chatting with you again soon. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez talking with Sheriff Brad Coe of Kinney County. Take care, my man.
You too, brother. You too.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. And we've got my good friend, Miss Mary Ann Mendoza, talking to us from Arizona. And she is a regular guest with us. She is an angel mom. She had a tragedy in her life with one of her family members, her son, at the hands of an illegal alien. And I wanted to get her to tell us about her thoughts when she hears Kamala Harris talk about She's Going to Get Tough on the Border. Marianne, thank you for taking time to be with us as usual.
Thank you, George, for having me.
What are your thoughts when you hear Kamala say she's going to get tough on the border?
It means nothing to me because the unfortunate thing is, you know, as the second most important leader in our country, she's done nothing. And that doesn't mean that we should promote her to be the most important leader of our country because she's done such a stellar job as the second most important leader in our country, right? You don't get promoted anywhere for doing a lousy job. So nothing that she says regarding the border or illegal immigration will be exactly how she says. They aren't going to take a tough stance. They can say whatever they want to get the job, but the long and short of it is things are going to stay status quo and probably get even worse.
It really is. I mean, we are watching, since the border has been open, we have been watching not only tons of illegals coming across, but tons of illegal criminals. We are watching them attack police officers in New York. And gangs going crazy in Aurora, Colorado. We even had a shooting of an officer here in San Antonio by a Venezuelan. What are your thoughts, being that you had a tragedy in your home?
Well, and, you know, my son was a cop here in Mesa, Arizona, so I know the importance of law enforcement for protection and safety in our communities, and we are just unleashing these violent, and I mean this Venezuelan gang is one of the most violent gangs in the world, and we are allowing them to protect the very people who we depend on to protect us. How insane and crazy is that, right?
It really is, yes.
You know, and I feel sorry for these men and women who get up every day and put on the uniform and, you know, the oath that they took, and they get up and go to work with that in mind. But this country, this administration is making it more and more difficult for these people to do their job. Not only police officers, but Border Patrol agents, ICE agents, anybody who's in a position to protect our citizens has really been put in jeopardy by this administration.
We've had not only the attacks, obviously, on the police officers, but the number of people killed is also, they keep pointing, a lot of these liberals keep pointing to the Statue of Liberty, welcoming the poor of the world. What are your thoughts when you hear them argue about that?
Well, a poem or a saying on a statue is not law. It is a saying or a poem on a statue. That is it. We have to look at our immigration law and what we are. And of course, America is welcoming to legal immigrants because, as I say, that's what our country was founded on. But you don't just get to come here without information about yourself, first of all, to let us know who you are. And you don't get to come here just because somebody said, open the door and let them in. There's laws and there's process, and that is what we need to do in order to protect, you know, the citizens of the United States. Heck, it astonishes me, George, the vetting that does not happen of every single person who's crossing our border. You know, and it's not just Venezuelan gang members. It's spies. It's terrorists from the Middle East. There's, you know, everybody knows this. It's over 170 countries that are represented by these people who are pouring over our southern border. Yeah. And we have a right to know who's coming here, because I want to know who I may be facing in the street when I leave my house, right?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Let me ask you one last question, because we've got a vice president right now that I'm not sure. I mean, she got close to the border, but I don't think she's been to the border. But vice president candidate, Senator J.D. Vance was down in Arizona. What were your thoughts about him? Did he say anything, or what were your thoughts about his visit down there?
He gets it. He understands it. He sees it. He's not afraid to go there and admit there's a problem and face a problem and talk with these men and women who are so frustrated, because Trump and Vance have solutions. And so you don't have a problem talking to men and women who will complain about all these things that are going wrong when you have the very solution that they need and they want. That is why Kamala and I doubt Tim Walz will ever go down to the border, because they are cowards. They are afraid to face these people who they've placed in this position, and they don't deserve for these people to even have a conversation with them the way that they've left them defenseless. And that's why a lot of times a Border Patrol and different people have turned their backs on this administration when they've gone to speak, not only on Biden and the way they feel about Biden and Kamala, but on Mayorkas. He's such a lying, treasonous, the only thing I can think of to say is pig, is the way I view Mayorkas, honestly. The man doesn't know how to utter a truthful word as he's testifying before Congress, and it just sickens me to think how he can lie to the American people every time he's on a newscast. I don't know how any of them sleep at night, honestly, George. I don't.
Boy, I couldn't have said it better. You were very tactical. You were very, very tactful, but you said it the way it needs to. Marianne, thank you very, very much for taking time to be with us today. And as usual, we'll get you back on again sometime soon. And you take care of yourself.
Thank you, George. You too.
You got it. Once again, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio.
The Federation for American Immigration Reform, known as FAIR, fights to restore common-sense border controls and immigration policies that work for America and its future. America's immigration system and border controls have been decimated by Washington politicians and special interests, undermining the interests and security of the American people. FAIR mobilizes grassroots activists to make sure the voices of the American people are heard in Washington. Find out more about FAIR and what we do by going to fairus.org.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. And we've got our good friend from the Texas Department of Public Safety, Lieutenant Chris Olivares. And I wanted to get him on because we are told that there has been a slowdown in the number of crossings, of illegal crossings at the border. However, we are seeing more instances of human trafficking. Lieutenant Olivares, thank you very much for joining us. Tell us what you can about what you're seeing at the border right now.
Hey, George, great to be with you, and of course, your listeners. So, yes, as you mentioned, there has been a decrease in illegal border crossings between the ports of entry. Now, that could be, caused by many factors. I would say, for one, in Texas alone, we have been able to get the number of illegal border crossings down by 85%. And I credit that to what Governor Abbott has been able to do for the last 3.5 years with Operation Lone Star, and all the hard work that our state troopers and National Guard soldiers have been doing along the border by being on the front lines, by placing physical barriers along the river, making it more difficult for people to cross illegally, and also arresting those that do violate state law and commit state crimes. We are making arrests for those individuals. So that alone sends a message that if you do cross into Texas illegally, there is consequences. And with that, that's why we're seeing a significant shift ever since the beginning of this year to the west, Arizona, San Diego, New Mexico. Now they're seeing an influx of illegal border crossings because of what we've been able to do in Texas. Now also, it's a political year. And we know that obviously when you have large groups of people crossing a river by the thousands, it does reflect negatively on the federal government. So, of course, in a political year, there was some type of agreement or deal between the United States and Mexico, which, you know, I don't have the details of that. But that in itself does send a, does tell you, does tell the American people that it's a political year. They want to avoid the negative optics. So, of course, they want to get those numbers down. But again, illegal immigrants, those are, you know, trying to make the journey to the United States are still being released at the port of entry through the use of the CBP One app or direct flights from their country of origin directly into the United States. Those numbers are never tallied. They're never taken into account of the daily overall number of crossings that take place on the southwest border. So many people don't understand that or don't see that, but that's been taking place. And that's been taking place by the thousands every single day that people are being released into the country. Now, with that, on top of what you mentioned earlier, human smuggling. Human smuggling has always been consistent across the southwest border. That has not slowed down. In fact, when you make things much more difficult crossing between a port of entry or voluntarily, people are going to find other ways to get into the United States. And of course, that's where you have criminal smugglers who will take full advantage of that. And they're going to try to get people further into the interior. And that's where we see that increase or that consistency with human smuggling. Now, with this latest trend, you know, we have seen criminal events or criminal smuggling events where smugglers are actually using cloned commercial trucks. In this case, most recently, we had a Lowe's delivery truck just outside of Del Rio that was used for human smuggling, where the driver was from Mississippi, was smuggling 17 illegal immigrants in a false compartment inside that truck. Earlier this month, U.S. Border Patrol in Carrizo Springs was able to disrupt a Safelite cloned delivery truck that also had a large group of illegal immigrants that were also inside the cargo area itself. So, you know, smugglers are always going to try to find a way to obviously avoid law enforcement and to smuggle people further into the interior so they're able to gain that profit.
It is also one of the things that we have been following are the number of young people that are involved in smuggling individuals. In some cases, young girls that are picking people up, I mean, endangering their own lives, obviously, by driving fast, but picking up somebody that they have no idea who they're picking up and trying to smuggle them into the United States to drive them either to Dallas or to San Antonio or points north.
Right. So that's one thing that we've experienced, you know, DPS in the last 3.5 years, you know, with border operations, is that it's not just, you know, your typical, you know, adult or U.S. citizen or anybody for that matter. We've seen different backgrounds, different demographics, people involved in human smuggling. And of course, juveniles as young as 13 years old that we've come into contact with that were smuggling people further into the interior. And it's all because smuggling organizations, they use social media platforms to be able to recruit young drivers to be able to get their attention, which we know most young adults are on social media these days. And that's why they do it. And it's very enticing when young children or juveniles see images of money and, you know, weapons and cars and jewelry. It's very enticing for them to get involved with that, making it seem like it's very easy just to smuggle somebody from one city to another and get paid several thousand dollars, which in some cases it happens. But of course, not realizing the lifelong consequences that come with it. The fact that now you will have a felony record, because it is a felony to smuggle anybody in the state of Texas. And now also not knowing the dangers if you get into a high-speed chase, if you kill somebody, you kill yourself, or you hurt the people that you're smuggling, it's going to have lifelong changes or detrimental impact to their lives. So one thing that we try to stress is don't get involved with that. Don't get involved with anybody as far as trying to promote any type of criminal activity, because, again, it will change our lives forever, and we've seen that.
Let me ask you this last question, because we are hearing a lot about this Venezuelan gang, the Tren de Aragua, that's becoming more and more active, well, in places like Denver and in New York City. Are you guys on the watch out in Texas with the DPS on the watch out for this organization?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one thing that we've seen, especially in El Paso, We've seen quite a few Venezuelans that have some type of association with the Tren de Aragua criminal gang. You know, before, you know, the fear was MS-13. You know, that's all we ever talked about was MS-13. Even early on, when this border situation started, it was MS-13 gang members that were able to infiltrate and make their way into the United States, you know, by the U.S.-Mexico border. Now we have this new, you know, violent gang from Venezuela. And, of course, thousands of Venezuelans have been released into the country, and yet they still are being released. And that's where I go back when I mentioned that there is some illegal immigrants that are being direct flown from their country to the United States, and one of the agreements is Venezuela. Venezuela will not take their people back. So now you have the United States actually flying them directly from their country into the United States, and of course those are crossing between the ports of entry, not knowing their backgrounds, because Venezuela does not share any type of criminal history with the United States. So we don't even know some of these individuals, their backgrounds, who's being released. And we've seen that throughout the country now, where some of these gang members that have ties to the Tren de Aragua gang are committing violent crimes. It's not just snatch and grab type of crimes, you know, thefts. Now they're committing actual sexual assaults and, you know, robberies and violent crimes, murder. So this is a violent gang that we are keeping an eye on, and we have come into contact with them in the El Paso area. So they're very dangerous. And of course, again, when you allow so many people released to the country, and now you're trying to play catch up, trying to find out who these individuals are, well, you're going to have, unfortunately, some of these cases where, you know, people are being victimized by this gang.
Wow. It's really scary. Lieutenant Olivares, thank you very much. We're going to let you go, but thank you very, very much for your service and for taking time to be with us today.
Always a pleasure. Appreciate it. Thank you, and thank you, yourself and your listeners, for all the support. We greatly appreciate that.
You got it. Once again, my friends, we've been speaking with our good friend, Lieutenant Chris Olivares from the Department of Public Safety, the Texas Department of Public Safety. You be safe. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, George.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. And we've got our good friend, former U.S. Congressman, Kiko Canseco. And I wanted to get him on because there is an effort, and he has spoken about it, in several counties, including here in San Antonio, Bexar County, efforts to do massive mail-outs of voter registrations and allow people to register to vote, practically anonymous. All they have to do is just sign a name and send it back in, and they are registered to vote. It sounds very, very democratic, but Kiko, welcome to the show. Tell us, what are the pitfalls in this kind of a situation?
George, thank you for calling me and asking me this question. I'm very happy to address it. It's always been a pleasure to be on your show, and I hope and pray that your broadcast has become broader and broader and broader, because these are very, very good messages. Let me tell you what's happened in Bexar County. Bexar County is dominated by the Democratic Party. Not that Bexar County is Democrat, it's just that they have machines that can conquer the courthouse and city hall. And with that, they can control a lot of the things that go on politically in this county. So what happened today was that they had a measure, it was called Rule 66, in order to hire this organization. It's a left-wing organization. It professes itself to be that way. It has come out with blogs and other things in order to help Democrats and left-wing people get elected and to get their vote out. It's the opposite of any efforts to protect the vote and to make sure that only citizens vote and as many citizens get to vote. So it passed today on a measure 3-2. Tommy Calvert and Grant Moody voted against it, and the judge and two others voted for it. And I won't go into all the details, but this organization is really a very left-wing organization. And the county is now going to use taxpayer dollars from you and I to go over there and mail as many voter registrations to people that are not registered to vote. So they're going to blanket the county and surroundings with our money in order to procure all these votes. And also, they're going to do whatever they can before they turn them into the elections office for approval. But we talked about this earlier, that it's not just voter registration that's going to bring in a lot of people that are not entitled to vote, or people that do not exist. Like I used to say, you know, you can register your dog to vote, or several crucifixes on the cemetery plot to vote. Now it's in the system, and they will get mail-in ballots. They will get all sorts of other things. But along with it, they're going to be able to get an enormous amount of information on many people. And they said it today, the people that are going to be contracted to do this. It was not done on a contract. It was done on a purchase order. The contract would have been a little more telltale. But they're going to grab from anybody who's registered to be a barber or to work or anything where your name and your address shows up, that you exist. They're going to go out there and they're going to harvest all that information, not for the benefit of Bexar County, but for the benefit of the Democrat Party. And possibly this is part of what Kamala Harris came out today, that she is putting in, I think it was $25 million to go help the down ballot. I don't know exactly what that means. I know what the down ballot is, but I don't know what it's going to be used for. The idea being this, that under current Texas law, it is not the job of the government officials to use taxpayer money for anything related to elections other than what you do in order to manage the votes, count the votes, and get those documents in and get them certified through the Secretary of State or other agencies as to a lot of things. But they cannot go out there and do that. The job of registering people should be, and has always been, left to the parties and the candidates to go do it. Because if a party and a candidate does not go out there and get their people registered to vote, then they're going to lose. So what they're looking to do is they're looking to raise the numbers for the Democrat Party and to take over Texas, period.
Now, one of the things that we keep hearing also is that because these application or these registration cards are being sent to people who are not registered, these people may also not necessarily be citizens. And so consequently, they may be registering either on purpose, by design, or by just accident, by the fact that they are sending them out, people who are not citizens. And that alone is a violation of the law. What are your thoughts?
Well, I agree with you, because if you look at the election code, and I think it's 276.018, the county, it's against the law for the county to do that or to pay money for that. It's against the law for them to do that. And I know with my text back and forth to Austin that the attorney general is going to sweep in here with a massive lawsuit against Bexar County. But let me point something out that's sort of a telltale of all these things. You know, my neighbor here across the street is still married to a Venezuelan. And the wife's brother was waiting in Nuevo Laredo to get his green card with his wife and cross over and come to San Antonio. Well, when the green card finally came in, he crosses the river, he goes through you know, the customs or whatever it is that says, yes, you're right, you're going to be, you're now a green card holder, you've got the right to come in here, and all these other things. And then they're met with all these other tables of people that are offering things from WIC to Social Security or SSI. And one of them is the voter registration. And this guy was astute enough to say, she's coming for the first time, I'm not a citizen yet. And the lady says, well, you fill it out now, and when you become a citizen, it'll always already be on the record. What does that tell you? It tells you that people that are sworn to go out there and get legal voters, that means citizens, to register to vote and to use all effort within the law to discern whether or not they are telling the truth about their citizenship or not. So you get them coming in across the river and coming in, and the first thing is, here's your voter registration. How many are not astute enough to say, oh, okay, and probably coupled with, you know, Biden's been very good to you because he's letting you in.
Yep.
So that's a horror tale that tells us exactly where the mind of these people are. And after hordes of people went up to the dais and talked about this issue, I didn't get out until 1:30 in the afternoon. I was there since 8 o'clock. But after all these people, then the two representatives that voted yes, one is precinct one, the other one is precinct two, they said, this is partisanship to the nth degree, and I don't buy it, and, you know, this is not true, this is horrible, just denying all these facts. So they're going to go for it no matter what.
That's amazing. That is really, really disturbing. What can we do? What can be done now that this contract is done, or to stop this future wave of trying to vote for more, I mean, to register more Democrats specifically?
You know, this is my thought, and I'm counting on the threats that the Attorney General has given. It gave the same threats to Harris County, and Harris County backed off. They tabled the matter. When they're going to bring it up again, I don't know. But Bexar County, instead of tabling the matter, which was the proposition of Tommy Calvert and Grant Moody, they all said no. Instead, they passed it. So I think that the Attorney General has already said they're going to sue. And I texted someone at the Attorney General's office, and they said, we will file suit today. So, wow. I'm hoping to see what they're going to do. They're probably going to enjoin the county. The only thing is that, you know, looking at the courthouse, the district judges, and also the Court of Appeals in its current makeup, I can tell you that it's weighed in favor of the Democrats.
Yep.
Because this is a highly political issue, and this is an election year, and they know where their bread is buttered, and they're going to follow the rulings of the Democratic Party.
That's
instead
right.
of their conscience and their elected sworn duty.
Well, instead of paying attention to the Constitution of the United States.
Right, you know, and the laws of the state of Texas.
Yep. Let me conclude this. Let me conclude with this question to you, buddy. What's the point of being a lawful legal citizen if anybody and everybody gets the right to vote?
it diminishes its value, because it's as if you own a company and your brothers and sisters and your uncles and aunts, you're all the owners, and all of a sudden somebody comes in that you don't know and he says, well, I've got a right to vote, and I vote that we don't do this or we don't do that, and I'm going to get some other friends to come in and vote the same way. You know, it's as if you've got China or somebody else coming in and trying to take over your governance, trying to take over your God-given rights, which is the right to control your own destiny and your own home and your own governance. I mean, the Constitution of the United States says these are rights granted to us by God and not by anybody else. No government grants them for you. Government is there to protect those rights. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to create rights, not those that are given by God, but rights that are granted by government in order to keep and maintain power.
Yep, exactly. Buddy, we're going to let you go, but thank you very, very much for taking time to be with us. Folks, we've been speaking with our good friend, former U.S. Congressman Francisco Kiko Canseco. Thank you very, very much, and you take care of your health, buddy.
All right, George. Take care.
Once Bye-bye. Again, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. Once again, my friends, thank you very much for joining us. George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. I want to thank our guests, Sheriff Brad Coe, Mary Ann Mendoza from Mesa, Arizona, Angel Mom, Lieutenant Chris Olivares, from the Texas Department of Public Safety, and my very, very good friend, former Congressman Francisco Kiko Canseco. I want to thank them all for being on our show and providing us the information that they have, my friends. We need to understand, my friends, that there is definitely a backdoor effort to have illegal aliens registered to vote. It is a reality, and this is what they're working on. Let me also thank our sponsor, FAIR, the Federation for American Immigration Reform. FAIR is the foremost organization in Washington, D.C. regarding the issue of immigration and the border crisis. And they are top-notch, my friends. If you want to know anything about FAIR and their work, and if you want to support FAIR, supporting FAIR supports El Conservador, since they pay the bills. I really, really encourage you to go to FAIRUS.org. FAIRUS.org. They are a premier group, my friends. Also, I want to mention that if you have any interest in following El Conservador on issues, on writings, on interviews, please. Go to elconservador.net, elconservador.net. You can read all of the editorials, all of the opinion pieces, as well as you can find the shows that we've had, the interviews that we've done. They are all posted there. Let me once again tell you, my friends, that we are looking at dangerous times right now. Very, very dangerous times. We have a political enemy that is bent on destroying our Constitution and allowing anybody and everybody, regardless of whether they're eligible or not. In fact, they want to remove eligibility. They want anybody and everybody to vote. So what is the point? Let me ask my friends as we close. What is the point of being a citizen, a legal, lawful citizen, if anyone and everyone in the world has the right to vote? What is the point? Once again, my friends, thank you for joining us. George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio.
The Federation for American Immigration Reform, known as FAIR, fights to restore common-sense border controls and immigration policies that work for America and its future. America's immigration system and border controls have been decimated by Washington politicians and special interests, undermining the interests and security of the American people. FAIR mobilizes grassroots activists to make sure the voices of the American people are heard in Washington. Find out more about FAIR and what we do by going to FAIRUS.org.
What could be nicer than pumpkin spice? An L-certified Lexus of your dreams. Find yours at the L-certified Fall Collection Sales Event. With special offers on select pre-owned models, U.S. News & World Report's best CPO program for 7 years running, with a complimentary maintenance plan and an unlimited mileage warranty up to 6 years. Click the banner to discover more. Exclusively at your Lexus dealer.
View U.S. News best cars at cars.usnews.com. Warranty valid 2 years after expiration of remaining time mileage of 4-year 50,000-mile new vehicle basic warranty. Offers end November 4th.